Good morning. Can you hear me? Good, good, good. Thank you all for allowing me to be here with you today. If you're visiting, I wouldn't know it. I'm a visitor too, so we're glad you're here. But if you are visiting, we're so thankful that you are here. If you're not familiar with the Churches of Christ, we are imperfect people that are just trying to serve God by following His Word. And so if you're here, we're so thankful that you are. We're focusing today on encouragement. It's the youth day today, and so we're going to be focusing on that throughout the day. And so many of you all have been a constant source of encouragement for me. Ironically, the very first time I ever preached a full-length sermon was here at Henderson. I was a freshman at Freed Hardeman, and it was a Wednesday night, and Tony Allen asked me to preach, and that was in December. And I was supposed to preach in April. And I didn't sleep for about 4 months. And I went to Gene Record Park all the time and preached my sermon to the mosquitoes. And it was torture. But when I got here, I was encouraged. Of course, we were in the old building. And so I was having to train myself to look here and look over here. So it was neat. But I'm so thankful to be back today. I wasn't a great speaker then. Quite frankly, I don't believe I'm a great speaker now, and so I'm shocked I've been in youth ministry for 9 years. I'm shocked I'm here as your guest speaker today. Jared asked me to preach, I guess it was early on, back in the spring, and I said, sure, yeah, I'll do it. And then time went on, and I got a brochure at Great Oaks in my box from Henderson Church of Christ, and it had Jeff Jenkins as the keynote speaker. I thought, oh, I guess they changed their mind. And then I realized it was somewhere else, so I called Jared, and he said, no, it's you. I said, awesome. So I thought y'all had given me up for a moment, but I'm thankful that I'm here today, so it's good to be with you. During our Bible class, we looked at the positive impact of encouraging others, as well as the negative impact of not encouraging others, both as Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ. And we explored Barnabas and all that he did in terms of supporting Paul and his efforts and the apostles there. And over the years as a minister, I have witnessed a lot of hurting kids. And it's been discouraging. I've watched a lot of missed opportunities by youth in terms of them encouraging their brothers and sisters and their enemies. And I don't think it's because our kids are inherently bad or they don't want to encourage. I think most of the time it's just hard to encourage because we don't know what to say and we don't know how to deal with people suffering and they're hurting. One, because it's uncomfortable. We don't know what to do. It's awkward. Sometimes it's countercultural to be like Christ and support people in endeavors that the world doesn't support. It can be uncool, and it can impact our acceptance, our respect from other people, our popularity. It can cause us to sacrifice our time, effort, energy, money to support other people. We don't always know what to say. And quite frankly, we sometimes don't know Scripture well enough to support people in what they're going through. And so for all these various reasons, it's difficult for youth to support your friends as well as us here as a congregation. So, and I've been around young people who have gone through so many different issues, whether it be divorce, whether it be suicide, whether it be homosexuality, whether it be addictions or rape or death. It's been difficult. You name it, and I've probably seen it to some degree somewhere. And it's really sad because I've heard most of these people who are suffering mention that they feel like they're suffering alone. And that shouldn't be the case in the church, to see that someone is suffering and they feel like they are suffering alone. And I've felt alone at times myself. I've gone through difficult times, pain and suffering, and I admit that during those times of suffering, I have lost my way. I have lacked my trust in God and my faith has wavered. When I was 12 in middle school, my mother committed suicide, and that completely turned my world upside down. My brother was diagnosed when I was at Freed with a brain tumor, and that was rough. Shortly after that, my father was put in jail, which was difficult. After that, I had to watch my sister struggle with depression and an eating disorder. And then, as well as watch my wife suffer through two miscarriages. And those are just to name a few. We've all gone through difficult times. If I have you write down on a sheet of paper all the things, I guarantee we would all be suffering with some of the similar things. And throughout these times, I can't tell you the number of times I have felt avoided because of what I was going through. I experienced an awkward silence because of what someone found out about me, or I dealt with ignorant comments from people that didn't know what to say. I think we've all, if I have you raise your hand, how many times said something to you, somebody said something to you ignorant when you didn't, you know, they weren't trying to, but that's the way it came out. We sometimes have word vomit. I have word vomit, and we mess up because we don't know what to say in hard situations. And I've learned that lesson the hard way. My wife will ask, go through something difficult, and she'll say, what do you think I should do in this situation? And I'll immediately start giving her my advice, and she'll just look at me and be like, be quiet. And I realize then that I'm just supposed to be quiet and listen and not really say anything. And so we don't always know what to do in situations of suffering with other people. And the best thing is not always, I'll be the first to say, the best advice is not always giving advice. It's not always our words. Sometimes the best thing that we can do is just sit with them, pray with them or for them, point them to Scripture, just actively listen to what they're going through. That's sometimes the best thing that we can do. But then again, there's also many times where our words are going to be a comfort to people, and that's what we're going to look at today. And we're going to go through Scripture and look at different people in Scripture who dealt with difficult situations and suffering and the mindset that they had and what people did in their situations to move through. Because my goal is today that if we can understand suffering and where it comes from, then we can better help those around us, especially our youth who are at school, who sometimes don't know how to deal with other people and the struggles that we're going through. A lot of times I've met with kids in my youth group and they've said that I don't know how to deal with it. And you know, some of you all sitting in this corner have dealt with just as much as these adults have. But people look at you and think that you're not worthy to help somebody out or provide advice because you're young. Don't let anybody ever tell you that. Turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. I wish that we could all have this mindset in the midst of suffering. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 12, in verse 2, he says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." Wouldn't it be awesome if we could say this in the midst of our suffering, that God is my salvation? No matter what's happening on this earth, God is my salvation. I will trust in him. And better yet, wouldn't it be awesome if we could point somebody else to believe that same idea? In order to encourage people in the midst of their suffering, I want us to look at some different ways that we can help people cope in their difficult times. First person I want us to look at is David. Turn over to Psalms chapter 13. Psalms chapter 13. Psalms is awesome because throughout the Psalms we see the mindset of David and what he went through. He was no stranger to suffering and the things that he was going through. But we see from his mindset some things that we can help other people see as well. David was not afraid to talk to God, and that's what we can help people see who are suffering. It's okay to talk to God. It's okay to ask God questions. Psalms 13, it reads, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle in my soul with my sorrow in my heart each day? How long will my enemy dominate me? Consider me and respond, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, lest I sleep in death. Lest my enemies say, I have overcome him, and my foes rejoice when I fall. But I have trusted in your loving devotion. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." David was hurting, but David went to God for it. He didn't question God's wisdom or his plan for him. He asked him questions, and I think sometimes in today's time, we have a hard time asking God why. Why is this happening? That doesn't negate the awesome power that God has, but we sometimes fear asking God what's going to and help us to understand. That's what David did. Psalms 10:1, he says a similar thing. He said, "Why, O Lord, do you stand afar off? Why do you hide in times of trouble?" In Psalms 44:24, he says the same thing. "Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression?" Psalm 79:5, "How long, O Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire?" Over and over we see David going to God, asking him questions, talking with him about what's going on. That's an amazing, powerful tool that we can help people who are suffering do for themselves, is simply go to God and ask them and tell them what we need. One of our first things that we can do is help people see. It's okay to talk to God. Secondly, maybe a little bit harder for us to sometimes help people see, is that sometimes the plans that we have for ourselves are way different than the plans that God has for us. The plans that we have made for ourselves are way different than what God plans for us. If we continue to strive for our own plans, we're going to suffer sometimes because we're combating what God has in store for us. Turn over to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. We all know this account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were about to be thrown in the fiery furnace, but what's more powerful is their response to that action. Daniel chapter 3, look at verses 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Is that not awesome? Even if he does not. They knew they were about to be thrown in, and could be, and that it could have, and God could have allowed that. And they were okay with that. Even if he does not save them, what'd they say? They were still going to glorify God and serve him, and they weren't going to serve the king's small gods. That's awesome. They had a plan for themselves. They didn't want to be thrown in the fire, but they recognized that God has a different plan, and that plan may be death. But in the sense, they were still going to serve him. Job has that same mindset. We all know what happened to Job. Look at Job 13 and 15. Job lost everything, but he had a similar mindset as we saw with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Job 13, 15, Job says, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Though he slay me, I will hope in him. It will be really hard for us to help people who are suffering see that God has a bigger plan. But that comes straight from Scripture. And sometimes I think we shy away from using Scripture to support people who are suffering. Habakkuk says something very similar in Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk 3, 17 through 18. He speaks to the Lord and says, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk recognized again that he may lose everything, that he could wipe away the fields and what were growing, whatever it might be, and he said at the end, I will still exult in the Lord. We need to help people see that in the midst of their suffering, we may have plans, but God has a different plan. And it's okay to trust. These three gentlemen didn't want bad things to happen to them. But however, these examples show us the mindset of putting God in control. And that's hard to do. But they recognize that their plans for themselves may be different than what God had in store for them. So besides talking to God, we can help people see that our plans may be different than what God has for us. And it's okay to trust in God because he will overcome. Thirdly, and another thing that may be hard to teach people, is that suffering comes for a lot of different reasons. That's been one of the hardest issues to deal with my youth, is why is this happening? Why is this happening? All the things they deal with, they want an answer for. They want to know right then and there why this is happening. Is it because God hates me? Is it because God doesn't love me? On and on and on. But the more we get into Scripture, we see that there's a lot of different reasons why we suffer. For example, turn over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. We don't have time to go through every reason why someone might be suffering, but we can go through a few. Galatians chapter 6. One of the most obvious reasons, starting in verse 7, says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. We need to help people see in the midst of their suffering, yeah, there are times when we may suffer simply because of the consequences that follow what we're doing. There are natural consequences to the actions we partake of. We don't want to admit that, but there are. If I fail a test because my teacher gave me a zero from cheating, well, that's an obvious response. I shouldn't whine and complain. Why? Does God hate me because I failed this test? Well, you cheated. You should get a zero. It's okay. A lot of times we negate the fact that the things that we are happening to us are because of the stupid decisions that we've made. And no offense, the kids at my congregation are notorious for believing that God is upset with them because something bad's happening, when I want to be like, well, you just did this, and you just, duh, it makes sense. We can help people see that, yeah, things are going to happen sometimes when it's our fault. We've messed up. Not because God hates us or he's punishing us, but because they're just natural consequences. Sometimes we suffer simply to be better people. And God allows that to happen. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. God can refine us through our suffering. And I believe God allows that to happen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 reads, "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." James 1:2 mimics something very similar. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." We don't want to see that sometimes, but maybe the suffering that we're going through is helping us to become better. And that's hard to tell somebody, so you may have to be cautious about it, but sometimes we suffer so that we can be better. Here we learn patience. We can learn to strengthen our faith, praise and honor and glory God at the appearing of Christ throughout the things that we go through. Sometimes we suffer simply so that we can be better. Also, we can suffer simply so that we can glorify God in the end. We don't want to look at our suffering sometimes as a way to glorify God, but we can. Look at John 9. John 9. Background, we see people questioning Jesus as to why this man is blind. You know, it's not fair. Why is he blind? And they're asking, is it because somebody sinned? Did he do something wrong? Did his parents mess up? And this is the response that they get from Jesus. John 9:3. Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." This man suffered, and what happened after that? Jesus was able to heal him. And as a result, we see God being glorified in this man's suffering. It's not because he messed up. It's not because his parents messed up. It's hard to twist our mind and think that our suffering could easily be turned or could be turned to glorify God. But that may be one of the reasons why we're suffering, so that we can be faithful, twist our mindset, and show people it's okay to go forth and continue to glorify God in the midst of our suffering. And when we do suffer, we're going to see that we're able to understand other people's suffering even more. And that may be another reason. Maybe you're suffering. Maybe that person's suffering so that they can better understand somebody else who's suffering in that same way. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We see another blessing of suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the Father of compassion and the God of our comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort which produces in your patience endurance of the same suffering we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." A lot of comfort, suffering, and sharing going on right there. In a nutshell, if we suffer, we are so much better prepared to help somebody else suffer through that same thing. When my mother committed suicide and my world was turned upside down, I didn't know what was going on. And then I got to high school, and one day I got called down from the principal, and he said, "Eric, I need your help. So-and-so's father has just committed suicide, and I know you've experienced that. Would you talk with them?" And for the first time, after that time period, I realized, maybe, just maybe, this happened to me so that I could comfort this person in the same type of setting. I didn't want to believe that throughout. I didn't want to believe that God put that on me, but we can take suffering and turn it into something beautiful if we allow it to comfort other people who are going through that same thing. I think we're allowed to go through that so that we can benefit each other as a church. If we can help other people understand why they might be suffering, it may help them have peace in a dark place and give them hope. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Besides helping people understand why they might be suffering, we need to help them turn their mindset into joy. And that joy can be found in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, it reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." It's easy to get down and feel like God is not on our side when things don't go our way or when our lives aren't filled with extreme happiness. However, we must get to the point where our happiness comes from more than just the successes in our lives and the things that this earth can offer, but what Christ did and what we have in Christ. Pointing people who are suffering to Christ is one of the best things that we can do because it puts things into perspective. This world needs hope. The people at your school need hope. The people at your workplaces need hope. The people in our churches, they need hope. And allowing people to dwell on their suffering and not pointing it to Christ can hold them back even further. We can help people find joy in Christ alone by helping them see that we have hope regardless of what happens on this earth in Christ. Lastly, you got to help people know that it's normal to suffer. It's coming. Be proactive and just get ready for it. Turn over to 1 John chapter 9. 1 John chapter 9. As Christ followers, we're never promised a life that is awesome and perfect and joyful all the time with no suffering. We're never given that. 1 John 9:15 says, "We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." Listen again. We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. We're going to suffer. And we need to remind ourselves that and help other people know that it is a part of life. It's a part of life. Jesus tells us also to be prepared in John chapter 15. Verses 18 through 19, he says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." We need to prepare ourselves and other people that we're going to go through some hard times. And not to get upset, but to know we were warned about it. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion. The world is evil sometimes. And God and Jesus said, the world's going to hate you because it hated me first. And if we know that, we're going to be more proactive when those situations come and help people see that it's not because God hates you. It's the world we live in sometimes. We need to help people see that it's okay to talk to God. Help people see that our plans may be different than what God's plan is for us. And to trust God in the midst of that. That there's different reasons why people suffer. That our joy should come in Christ and not the blessings that we receive on this earth, as well as suffering is going to come and to just know it's coming. One or more of these ideas may help us encourage ourselves as well as encourage others. I would love it if we could all get to the point where we could pray that prayer or say the things that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, and Job and Habakkuk, to say, "Dear God, save me. But if not, I recognize that you don't have to save me, but if not, I will still trust in you. And that's a hard prayer to say. But I think the minute that we can do that, the minute that our joy will be overflowing, because nothing that you can do to me is going to affect my salvation. My salvation is between myself and God. It's easy to shy away from people who are suffering because we're scared of what to say. We don't know what to say. We may not know scriptures enough. We may fear that we're going to have word vomit. There's a lot of things that may keep us back. But we need to understand that that's a challenge for us as Christians, to support people who are suffering. It'd be hard for me to believe that every single person in this room, or that there's no one in here that's suffering. You're suffering for one reason or another, either privately, either publicly. But I want you to know that we are a church family that loves you, supports you. We want to bear your burdens, as Galatians tells us. And we can all do that because of the common bond that we have in Christ. If you haven't committed your life to Christ, you haven't really understood the joy that God can give you. And so I'll challenge you today to either turn your sufferings over to God, help somebody else go through their sufferings, or commit yourself to in Christ through baptism, because when that happens, that's the time we can truly have joy in Christ. If you need anything, let us know while we sing this next song.